Jesus on the men's stand side. Oh, that's a late
for Subway. Grab a chicken pizziola melt today.
He's one of the biggest names in the game, without a doubt. Played 97 games of VFL, snuck into AFL footy in his last year, and 71 goals, 62 of those games with the Blues, and 35 with the Saints. He debuted as a 17-year-old in 1981. He is the one and only Spiro Cucumilla. Spiro, g'day.
G'day, Daniel. How you doing?
Very well, thank you, mate. Great to have you on board.
Spiro Cucumilla's mate!
What's one of the biggest names in
one
footy,
of the
no
biggest
doubt.
Names, and also growing up as a Carlton supporter, you couldn't just, when you'd go to a game at the park and people would yell out Spiro's name, it just rolled off the tongue beautifully. Spiro, you were made for that team.
Well, I suppose so, mate. It was, you know, a few of the local Greeks, Italians sort of gravitated to their on the ground and off the ground, I think, mate.
Was it your team? Was it your team growing up?
No, it wasn't, actually. I used to barrack for Collingwood.
Who didn't? I got every second person in here barrack for Collingwood.
Peter McKenna. I love Pete, and I've sort of met Pete through the sort of journey a bit and sort of love Collingwood. But, you know, they picked me up when I was a 15-year-old kid down at Carlton playing under 19. So I soon changed, and, you know, that's who I barrack for today, mate. So went across to St Kilda for a little while as well. But
Hearts at Carlton.
It is, yeah. Had some really, really good years down there. You know, a little bit different to where the boys are now, but... you know, the time we played, we had some fantastic sides, eh? So we had some great players coming through, and it was just a time where we socialised as well as we played
footy. Did you have a bit of a socialise when you were down there? Did you? You enjoyed it?
Jesus, I mean, it was... mate, it's the criteria, I think. You know, you go back and look at what we actually did in those days, you know, and you think, you know, how you did it off the ground, and then, you know, we trained just as hard... you know, when we actually trained. So it was just crazy stuff. So
you would have been in the zone, clearly. But must have been local to the area, were you?
Yeah, I lived about 5 minutes half from the footy ground. So,
okay. You
know, occasionally I used to sort of pop up there when I was about 13, 14, wait for, you know, like the ball to come over the ground and...
take the ball with
try
you.
Try to take a ball, mate. You know, yeah, what do? You know, that's just how it was in those days, you know, back at going to Princes Hill.
And, did you snag a few?
Yeah, well, one or two, mate. There wasn't too many, so I left some for the other boys, you know, the local boys.
And you would have missed Vinny Cotoggio, obviously. He was one of the other great local boys made good.
Yeah, Vinny just lived opposite the footy ground where I used to pop up there and grab those footies, mate. So, yeah, no, Vinny was a great fella, and I still see Vinny around the traps a little bit now, and he's a hell of a nice fella.
He is. He's been in. Hello to Vinny. He'll be painting someone's house in here. Make sure you go to Vinny Cotoggio if you need your house painted.
Why wouldn't you? Well, we have had, and you mentioned Vinny, and it brings up one of the other points. Some of the guys that we've had with Greek and Italian backgrounds, their parents weren't overly keen on them playing as Aussie rules football, but you sound like being a Collingwood supporter as a kid, that your family was a bit more involved. Is that right?
Not at all.
Not at all?
No, man. Hey, it's funny, you know, Dad, you know, he passed away 2 weeks ago, but when I was a young kid, mate, I had to sneak out to play footy. The course, because you know, he just it was the soccer, and you know, I had to sort of meet a good Greek girl and all that sort of stuff, and so I had to sneak out. But when to him, when I actually did start to go and play junior footy and stuff like that, he came to every game. He had the old station wagon, as the Greeks did, so he'd lob 20 kids in the
Valiant station wagon.
It was, you know, lob 20 kids in the back of the car and off he'd sort of take. So he came to every game and got really involved and stuff like that, and very supportive as well. So
what was the Cucumilla story then? Where did they when did they come out?
Well, there's a funny story to that too. I mean, Dad and Mum came out about 54, I think it was, and Mum used to live in Fitzroy, and I remember Dad saying the story. There was there's all these people going to some sort of function, you know, like you just live near the old Fitzroy footy ground there. Yeah. So he followed these people and didn't know where they were going. So he ended up paying some money back then and going in and watching this game. And he didn't know what the hell he was watching or what he was doing, because he obviously followed the soccer back at home. Next week, the same thing, you know. So he ends up following these people, going and watching this game. And the following week, he was going to do the same. But the only thing was that they were playing away, so he didn't realise what was going on. So he followed Fitzroy for about 8 years, actually. So, so that's sort of the background.
Mm. Great. And did you play soccer as well? Were you a dual sports superstar?
I wasn't too bad at that game either, sort of thing. Yeah, it went pretty well. Probably could have gone either way with sort of the soccer or the footy. But, you know, the local... Aussie boys down the Commission Flats got me down to Princess Hill, and you know, I had no choice. So it was either that or get belted. It was a bit like that, you know. So, you know, you sort of went down and played under 13s footy with Princess Hill. Was there for a couple of years, and then Carlton, because we played at the ground next to the footy ground there at Princess Park.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So that sort of main ground, and you know, Carlton ended up picking me up when I was 15 and played under 19s then.
Any of your mates go through with you? Any from that area?
There's a guy called Stephen Gumley. He went to school, you know, at Princess Hill as well, and we ended up sort of going through Till Cup and playing under 19s footy together. Yeah, and
that Till Cup. What was that year like? What was that?
Geez, I had some. There's a couple of local boys here, Dermot and Williams and Roosie. All those guys played.
Good year.
Yeah, yeah. We had some really gun players, and I think the opposition, South Australian side, because we ended up playing in the finals. They had Kernahan, they had Motley, and they also had Brattles. So
it would be great to see some footage of those. Did they film any of those old games?
I'm not sure, but our coach at the time, who was Kevin Wright, he ended up playing all of us out of position. So he played all the backs up forward and all the vice versa. Yeah. Half time we were down by 7 goals, I remember. And it's not a lot of stuff I remember these days, but you remember that. So he ended up changing us back to where we should have been playing. We ended up losing by about 2 points. So it was a fair game.
Right. Where were you running around?
I was sort of playing half back, but I was sort of playing half forward in those days. Yeah, although when I was playing under 13s, mate, I was in the ruck, so I was a fairly tall kid. So
I was going to ask you that because you're a prodigious talent. You were 14, 15. They knew you were very, very good. So did you mature early physically? Did you?
I did. Yeah. I was sort of my height when I was about 13, 14.
Yep.
So I used to play in the ruck as, you know, going through sort of the junior footy, and you know, as you soon work out, mate, you get up into the big boys and. You sort of got to come down a couple of tiers.
You know, we call them half man boys.
Man boys.
We talked about the man boys at one stage.
It's been discussed.
I don't think your name came up, but we'll have to remember that one, the man boys.
What's that sort of mean? When you sort of grow that's a when, lot of extra hair and
well,
stuff?
Well, when young blokes, who are a bit ahead of their time. At 14 or 15, they're like a man, yeah.
Jesus, I used to remember that. I used to have all this, you know, little bum fluff and stuff like that. My old man wouldn't bloody let me shave it, you know. And I used to look
Once you start shaving, mate, it's all over.
That's
what he would have been saying. Yeah.
But Jesus, it was good when I got rid of it, huh? Got a bit lucky, you mate.
What did the old man do? What did your old man do?
Oh, Dad was he owned a fruit shop. You know, as you do. It's a bit
You're ticking all the boxes.
I am, mate. Don't worry about that. So yeah, Dad owned a fruit shop, and you know, he just worked hard and hard all his life, and you know, labouring and did that sort of stuff, and pretty much right through.
Good on him.
Yeah.
So because of your prodigious talent, the fact that you were earmarked pretty early and you ended up 15, 16 down at Carlton, when that situation had happened, did you realise this was what you wanted to do now? Going to give it every chance possible to be a success at VFL footy?
Yeah, look, halves. I mean, it was probably, you know, a good thing that it happened to me early because it just, you know, just, you don't know where you could have ended up, you know. Yeah. Like, you know, I know through the guys that I went to school with and stuff like that, you know, there's... You know, certain guys went another way. I went sort of another way. So it just taught me the discipline side of things, and you know, and which I enjoyed and took on board. And you know, it was just something I enjoyed doing.
It wasn't far to go either way. You either ended up at Prinny Park or at Pentridge, and there was easy visiting to either.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, I've had to visit a few of my mates, so old mates. Yeah.
And you started the night. Spent a bit of time with the 19s, and you had a bit of success there too, didn't you?
Yeah, first year there. First year, just turned 16. We ended up playing Fitzroy in the grand final.
Yep.
We ended up playing before the senior game because at that point the reserves had to play on the Sunday, and it was called the Commodore Cup, I think, in those days, if you remember.
Yeah.
So they had to play on the Sunday. So we were the main game before the seniors. So here I am, 16-year-old kid.
Fantastic.
You know, running out at the G, like 110, because you're sort of used to cramp, you know, the few extra people in those days.
Standing, so a lot of standing room.
It didn't matter so much, you know. And, you know, we ended up beating, and I remember we had the biggest all-in blue that game as well. Just, you know, as they did in those days. And, you know, by three-quarter time, there was all the Carlton people there barracking and cheering off. We ended up winning the grand final. So, look, I mean, it was a great introduction. It's just something you remember.
Spiro Korkamilos in the JYB chair this afternoon. I mentioned before the break, for those that were listening, Spiro, that it took you a while to break into the senior team. You played 19 for 2 or 3 years, and you were there. You were pressing, and you played reserves games as well, but it took you till 1981 before you got your first senior game. Do you remember that game?
It was one game. I was under 19s that year, played resis and had one senior game.
Yep.
And it was, I kicked a goal with my first kick, Remember running on, looking at the guy I was standing next to, and he was okay. He wasn't too bad a player. He wore number two at Melbourne. You know, the
fairly
old
handy type fella.
You know what I mean? So yeah. I stayed next to him, and I think I just looked at him for about 10 or 15 seconds before I realised I better go and get the ball, mate. So, yeah, so that was, you know, my first game, and then sort of, you know, it was the year they won the grand final, so... it was a pretty hard side to break into in those days. We had some, you know, amazing, amazing players. And, yeah, but I do remember it just a little bit.
Just a little bit.
Were you there? Like, were they talking to you a lot, saying you're thereabouts? Or was it a case of you just sort of, it was just a bit of out of the blue?
I sort of played some reasonable football and stuff, so that they ended up giving me a game. But it wasn't a lot of that sort of stuff done in those days. Yeah. You know what I mean? Where you'd sort of, you know, Wes Lofts was our main bloke and stuff. And I reckon even in the amount of time we were there, Wes would probably speak to you about five times, you know. He'd speak to all the main boys and stuff like that. But, yeah, there wasn't a lot of that sort of going on, eh? So you just sort of did what you did, sat in a corner and spoke when you were spoken to a little bit, you know, until you sort of done your dues.
Fair enough.
82, you played six games, I think it was, and then you really started to launch in 83. From there, it was when you found your form.
Yeah, absolutely. 82 was a bit of a bugger. It was three games before the end of the season. Ended up getting rubbed out for something I virtually didn't do. Ended up missing. Well, I was playing down, I'd been dropped and went down to Lakeside Oval, and I remember this little bloke, McBroom, his name was. He ended up giving me, you know, one in the head. I've got up, and all I've done is trip him, you know, just pushed him on the side, and the umpire reported me. He ended up copping 6 weeks, but honestly, yeah, I mean, everyone says, yeah, blah, 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 but I didn't actually do it sort of thing, and ended up missing, you know, all the finals and had to miss the next.
What did they get you for kicking or something?
Did they? Yeah, absolutely. But I tell you, Des, if I'd kick someone, mate.
That's that ridiculous thing, but there was that stigma of you don't kick or you don't. Yeah.
And it was more like a push and sort of, you know, tripped over my leg and stuff like that. And ended up, because we'd sort of played in the resis, I had to play reserve games before they actually counted the suspension. So it ran into next year and ended up missing all that. So. Yeah, it was, and I was thereabouts, and we had a couple of suspensions come finals time. So you never know, but, you know, in 83, 84, 85, halves played sort of regularly. So.
And that was Parko? Parko was
David Parkin, yeah. I mean, he was fantastic. I mean, even back then, you know, as a coach, I mean, I haven't had a better coach than David. He was so well prepared and probably ahead of his time, really. You know, stuff that everyone does now, he probably did back then. Mm. You know, we used to, Monday nights, used to wait, you know, for you're in retrospect, there used to be a 10 or 12 page dossier come out to you.
Yeah, in retrospect.
Do you remember that? Yeah. Did you have Parker?
No, well, he had Judgy learned a lot of his stuff off Parker when he was assistant at Carlton. Yeah. In retrospect, would come out Monday afternoon. Yeah, you're right.
And it was like that too. You know, you played a good game, you're really keen to get it. You know, you're sort of like, you know, fair or, you know, poor or very good or whatever the case might be. So, when you didn't play such a good game, Arfs, you didn't want to look at it.
Didn't want anyone knowing what you got on the label.
Exactly. So,
but you're right about the competition you're up against. Sheldon, Armstrong, Johnston, Wells, Buckley, Glascott, Harms. There's just some of the bigger names, but there's plenty of others around that middle bracket too that you were trying to fight for. It must have been frustrating at times, but immensely satisfying when you made your way in and stood on your own 2 feet.
Yeah, look, it was. Because it was just a unique place, to be quite honest. You know, on the ground success, and then we obviously socialised a lot as well. Most of my mates these days are guys that I did play footy with. So there was a real bond there, you know, sort of, you know, something, you know, that...
Who are we talking?
The guys I used to socialise with. Oh, we're talking blokes like Meldrum, Glascott, Alvin... so those sort of blokes. Yeah.
Tommy's still got the hair.
He does, mate. We were actually out for dinner the other night. We sort of caught up, David, Paul and Tommy and myself, and he looks the same. Honestly, he has not put any weight on. He still, you know, looks like Tommy used to look, with his hair down to his bum.
Good on him.
Good on him. No, that's
nice
right.
to have here. I'm sure it'd be great.
It's very good. It's enjoyable. Harp,
I'm sure it'd be great.
Yeah.
And so, who were your toughest opponents when you're playing through that 84, 85, 86 sort of time? Who were your tougher opponents that you love, but you love to play on?
I was actually talking, I was looking at Terry Wallace the other night, and he's one bloke, you know, I played against and found, you know, like I used to be able to run long distance. I was never the quickest sort of guy, but, you know, my long distance was comparable to most. But, you know, blokes like Terry Wallace, I found really hard. He just worked so hard. He was in and under and stuff. Tucky was the other one. Michael Tuck was, you know, for a wiry sort of guy, I found him strong, you know, and you know, you'd sort of think you're running and, you know, working pretty hard, and you look behind you and Tucky'd still be sort of, you know, up your clacker and giving you a hard time, you know. So yeah, I found those two sort of guys, you know, pretty hard to play against.
Anyone scary?
Scary?
Yeah, anyone just put the wind up you a bit?
The only bloke that I found scary was a bloke I played footy with.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, and that was down at St Kilda. And he just got inducted into the Hall of Fame just the other day.
Oh, we might talk about him when we get to
Hold fire on that. Hold fire on that. I want to ask you about the change of dynamic after 85 when Wolsey came in to the Blues in 86 and how that affected things for you and the team at the time as well.
Yeah. Look, with me, I had 1 year under Wolsey.
You're starting to smile here. There's something going on. Yeah, yeah.
You're looking uncomfortable and moving around in
my
your
head. There's a bit of jeering going on. I think, do I put him in or don't I put him in?
Put him in.
You know,
he's in France, buggering.
He's away. Well, with Wolsey, it went a bit like this. Hey, I played the first six games, I think I was, and I was his best mate up until then, right? Yeah. So, you know, we're torps at the training together, longest distance and all this sort of stuff, and, you know, cork of this, cork of that. So, fantastic.
Golden child.
I was, mate, I didn't know what had happened, you know. I thought, this is great. What actually happened after that, mate, I ended up doing a little, it was what I thought was a hammy. So I missed the next 12 games.
Oh, wow.
Through a hammy, you know, and it was a tendonitis thing back in those days when, you know, when they virtually worked out what it was, they gave me a jab in the back of the leg and it sorted it out in 2 weeks. But in that meantime, sort of, you know, the first sort of five games, you know, you're right, you're not playing, not good, couldn't get myself right, you know. So it was very frustrating because not only that, but even the last sort of 5 or 6 years of my playing days, I was more injured than I played. So it got pretty hard that way because, you know, you wanted to do stuff but couldn't do it. So after about the fifth game, I mean, I don't think Wolsey spoke to me again, you know. So ended up going through that year, played in the Rezzy's grand final, and that was my last year at Carlton. It was a good game. We won. There's a lot of, you know, guys that had sort of, you know, we played through, you know, the last 5 or 6 years, but that was my last year at Carlton.
And you kicked 4 goals in that grand final too, though, Tommy.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I sort of, yeah, that was until half-time, so.
Oh, just set lazy up early. Four.
I'll come back out after half time, and it was three big Emmett Dunn, remember him?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Ox policeman, wasn't he? Yeah. Him and three other blokes just absolutely, give, you know, collecting me real, real good. Never had bruised ribs before, and I couldn't believe how sore that was. I had to come off and, yeah, got a couple of little jabs in the thing, but I couldn't come back on. I was that sort of bad.
So. You set the game up, mate. You've done your job, and the Blues reserves won that 86 premiership, and then it was on to the Saints. But it wasn't always going to be the Saints. We're in the domain of JYB, Jezalenko, your beauty. There's Dowling from funnyguys.com.au with us now. Special guest, Spiro Kokkamilas.
And we've got to cover up. We're about to journey to St Kilda with you, Spiro. A couple of things before we do. Dramatic collapse early on in your career.
Yep.
Pushed too hard. What happened?
Yep. We were running out at Burwood College, 37 degrees, 8K run. Always used to go all right with the long distance, and a guy called Phil McAvoy, he was leading the pack, K from home, was up his, you know, running right behind him.
Close, yep.
Yeah.
Up his ginger.
I just pulled back then. My daughter said, don't swear on radio, Dad. So about a K from home, I ended up doing a left-hand turn down the street. Next thing I remember is two old ladies were hosing me down. I'd woken up. I thought I'd died, so... And then you actually had a fit?
Well,
I don't know what it was, Des, but the boys ended up coming back, grabbing me, taking me back to the college. They took off, left me there lying there. Honestly, I was just having convulsions and things, and I thought...
They left you there?
Just left me there, you know. Where's
Where did
today?
They go?
I mean,
the
you
pub.
Know, they just went off and trained and just left you there, and I wanted to get back up and go and have a look in the mirror because I honestly thought my whole face was changing, you know, but it seemed like an eternity before I come to to get up. So eventually I must have come to, went to the toilets, looked, and I thought, geez, thank Christ you haven't changed.
And so, you're okay.
Well, I was, but I think, you know, mentally and stuff down the track, you know, it was a bad buzz. And, it sort of, you know, then I sort of looked at alternative things, medicine and things like that, acupuncture, all these sort of things that, you know, it's pretty common these days, but it wasn't in those days. So, but you didn't tell anyone either because, you know, you're meant to be a tough boy in those days. So.
Yep. And you're looking a picture of health. You're only 51, but you, a couple of years ago, you had a bit of a shock at Doyley Morning Boot Camp, minor heart attack. Not even that minor.
Yeah, no, no, it wasn't. The boys locally got me sort of thing, so I thought I'd sort of, you know, push it with them a little bit, mate. So, yeah, one thing led to another and had a bit of a turn. And, yeah, but no, look, I'm going along okay now. So it's been 3 years and, yeah.
That's great. And one final word before you leave, Carl, or two words. Brucey Doole. Just how you found him?
Oh, look, he was an amazing sort of, you know, he was an amazing footballer, Bruce. I mean, played with him for about 6 years or so, you know. He was a bit like Michael Tuck, I was saying earlier, you know. Bruce was always there. He was always sticking his hands out and didn't say a lot, Bruce, you know. So just sort of sat in his corner and stuff. And there was a couple of us, you know, we called it the dead end kids. Myself, Glasscott, Berkey and all these blokes. So we used to stir Brucey up a little bit, you know, and... but
what were you doing to Bruce?
Oh, look, we'd sort of have a Sunday morning sort of training where, you know, we'd do lacrosse and stuff like that. And Bruce was pretty serious. So we used to get on one on either side and just throw the ball over the top of him and stuff like that. Do all that sort of stuff, put things in his locker and do all, you know, just things that, you know, young blokes do, mate. So, but mate, he was an absolute legend, eh?
Absolutely. Bruce doing one of the greats of all time. Mm. We mentioned before the break, 86, was your last year at the Blues. Wolsey came in and sort of with your injury issues as well, it was time for a bit of a change. And my word was that Collingwood were really keen. You ended up at St Kilda, clearly, in the last couple of years of your career. But how close were you to get into Collingwood?
Pretty close, half. So, yeah, I met with Lee Matthews at the time. And yep. It was probably a couple of other clubs too, Melbourne and Hawthorn and Brisbane I could have gone to. But ended up meeting up with Lee, had a good meeting with Lee. And I was pretty close. I mean, you know, hindsight's a great thing, but yeah, I ended up going to St Kilda. There's six or seven ex-Carlton guys going to St Kilda, and yep. It's a couple of other little things that enticed me there, mate. So, you know, that they did, but yeah, no, I mean, I was real close to going to Collingwood as well. So, you know,
and Alan Davis was coaching the Saints that year, wasn't he?
He was.
Well, what did you know about Alan in the build-up to?
Not a lot, but I learned a lot.
What'd you learn from Alan? I'm intrigued.
Oh, look, mate. Yeah, Alan was a unique sort of fella. Hey, he was quite unique. So,
unique, eccentric, or unique, good, unique, bad,
unique, rude, bad. You know, look, he had his own sort of ways of doing things. You know, I didn't, you know, like, I mean, what can you say? I mean, I don't want to say too much about it, but, you know, look, St Kilda as a whole, you know, back in those days, it wasn't a coincidence that I only won one grand final, you know. So I loved my time down there. The players were fantastic. And I reckon with the right administration, you know, St Kilda could have gone a long, long way.
And why did Big Plugger scare you?
Oh, you just had to be there, mate. I saw some of the things Plugger used to do down there, eh? So, honestly, I mean, you know, and I'm, you know, there's one bloke, you know, if you want to stand up and have a bit of a go, happy to have a go at anyone. But, mate, it's one bloke. Honestly, you wouldn't want to get on the wrong side of, eh? He was mean. He was, he just had this mean streak in him, Plugger, and, you know, he hated losing, and he was just really competitive, you know, and for the size... you know, what he did. Look, I reckon he's probably the best player I've seen, you know, in terms of controlling a game and in terms of how he prepared himself and, you know, down at St Kilda. Like, I don't think he did a lot of preparation, you know. So, you know, for him to achieve what he did, he was just phenomenal.
You mentioned the culture before, and not surprised there's only been the one premiership up until that point. They went close a couple of years ago, of course. But what was the training standards like compared to what you've come across through your time at Carlton with Wolsey and Parker, who really drove that hard? What was the difference like?
Oh, look, it was completely different halves, you know. So, you know, we had Darryl Bulldock, and, I mean, they'd sort of brought the Doc over from Tassie to sort of promote the place because they needed to sort of get it up and going, you know. Yeah. So, look, it was just completely different, you know. We were sort of... you know, we were taught one way, and, you know, when we came down to St Kilda, they did it completely different. And I think even blokes like Stewie Lowe and Trevor Barker, they actually paid tribute to all the Carlton boys at their testimonials because we brought a different professionalism down to St Kilda. You know, and they talk about that where the club probably changed its ways a little bit from when we came down. And then there was the Hawthorn guys that came down as well. Yeah. You know, Pete Russo and Russell Morris and those sort of guys as well. And, you know, things started to change. And, look, I mean, these days it's a different ball game, you know, as it has been the last few years. I mean, the scrutiny of, you know, AFL footy, and you just can't get away with that sort of stuff. You know, in those days, it was just different. So we just learned to do what we did. It was, we tried to instill the way we were taught and what we'd done down at St Kilda, and hopefully we had a little bit of an input to help some of those sort of younger kids like Berkey and who's the other? And Robbie Harvey as well, because they were only kids, mate, you know, when they were down there. But, you know, they went through, and I think their sort of, you know, development in the early days was probably not as good as it probably could have been.
You said before about being at the Blues, it was pretty, you were very social with your mates at the Blues. The Saints drew through that time, the Saints disco on Saturday night.
Geez, I reckon they probably did it even better, mate.
I think they would have.
You know, yeah. Oh, yeah, old Trev Barker and stuff like that, you know. You know, Mickey Roberts and a few of those boys, mate. Yeah.
But see, when you got that losing culture, I guess, they had the partying and the social side, I guess that was, you know, made up for it almost. Whereas when at Carlton you were winning and you had that thing of, you couldn't go too crazy because, you know, your big things were expected on the ground.
Well, they were, but we did go crazy, Des. You know what I mean? That's the whole thing. You know, Carlton, we did both things off and on the ground, as the St Kilda boys did as well. But, you know, we didn't have the administration or the coach doing those things at Carlton, whereas at St Kilda they did.
Everyone.
You know, and that was the whole thing, you know. So it happened sort of from the top down. So not putting any names in or anything.
No,
That's just the way.
Just the club in general.
It's just the way it was, you know. You know, we've come a long way since.
And how far did Peter go, your younger brother? He was down at the Blues for a bit, wasn't he?
Pete was down there, yeah. He's very, very talented footballer, Peter. And, you know, he played a little bit with the under-19s. I think he might have sort of a couple of games. But, you know, his training sort of, you know, he wasn't quite as disciplined as he probably should have been.
It happens. It happens a lot through the journey. Yeah. Spiro Kokkamilis is our special guest this afternoon on JYB. Des Dowling with us as well. And it finished for you in 1990 at the Saints, Spiro. And then you kept on keeping on. You went, played VFA for Coburg, the mighty Coburg Tigers. What was that like?
Interesting.
Alliance, was
very interesting. Yeah, I was only 27 at that time. So, you know, I still thought maybe I had a little bit of footy in it.
So was the body or mind that got the better of you?
No, it was the body. Yeah, the body got me. I mean, even, as I say, the last 5 years of AFL footy, I was more injured than I played. Then I went to Coburg for a couple of years. Played probably 6 games in 2 years there as well. So the body just didn't do what I wanted to
Frustrating
do.
Frustrating for you?
Oh, like you wouldn't believe. Yeah. It really was, you know, towards the end, you know, like, you know, coming through sort of, you know, did quite well. And then the body, and whether it was, you know, when I collapsed in those days, whether it had something to do with me, because it's more soft tissue stuff there, you know.
And people are unforgiving. They always look, people see it as a character flaw or something if you can't get on the track.
Yeah, no, look, I tried everything. My mind was sort of willing, but the body just wasn't able to. So went there with Phil Cleary for a couple of years. He was an interesting character.
Yeah,
he got me to get around when he was actually auditioning for the council. So he just thought he'd get me in sort of going around with him locally at Coburg. There's a lot of Greeks, so he thought he'd win a few votes. So that was pretty interesting. And then I went to Bacchus Marsh for a couple of years with Paul Meldrum. And, and the same thing there. Halves played about half a dozen games in 2 years. So And then I was at Carlton in 95. Did the running in the Magoos.
Yep.
Until I broke down again. But I keep telling the boys that's one of the main reasons with my skills work why we ended up doing all right in the grand final.
Is that why you bought bike shops?
Well, I don't know why. That just sort of happened, eh?
Didn't want to run anymore? Sick of hurting yourself?
And that's probably a good thing, mate. I do a bit more riding these days, so it probably helps with the hard grounds, Des.
You got the couple of shops in Brunswick, have you? The Avanti Cycles?
Yeah, Avanti Bicycles in Brunswick, and I got the Ray's Bicycles in Brunswick as well. They're about sort of 600 metres apart.
You didn't want to move to another suburb? You wanted to compete against yourself?
It's something like that, eh? No, we just catered for two different markets in those areas, Des, yeah.
You got the hipsters on their fixie bikes, and then you got the serious lycra-wearing fellas.
Absolutely, yeah. So we cater for both, for both markets, mountain bike, road, BMX, whatever you sort of want. We service the bikes and do all that. So I've been doing that for about sort of 14 years now.
And before that, you were selling dips because someone's come in on the SMS. They bought dips off you back in the day.
Chris's Greek dips. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, Chris's dips are magnificent.
Very big.
Chris's Greek dips, long time ago, yeah. So I was there for about 11 years.
From day one, you sort of helped turn it into the tour. Wouldn't have been many people getting the dips other than the Greeks, probably.
Not in those days, mate. I used to go into Coles and Safeway like that, and they said, "What are you doing?" I'm selling dips. They say, "What are dips?" You know, the tiramisu salata and tzatziki and all this sort of stuff. So, you know, benowns to us now. Well, you know, everyone's got buys.
Love a dip.
Absolutely. So,
Is that your job when you're playing?
Sorry?
Is that your job when you're playing?
Towards the end of my career, I ended up getting into the dips and did that for about 9 or 10 years. So, so that was towards the end when I was 27, 28, ended up doing that. And then I've had the bike shops for about 13 years now.
Have you been able to ride off a few trips to Italy or France?
I'm working on that. Yeah, a couple of little trips here and there, half. So, you've got to go and do your market research.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so any new things coming through, mate, I want to be the innovator. So,
well, it's a good season for bike enthusiasts out there. We've got the Grand Tour season, the Tour de France not too far away, so I imagine the Brunswick bike scene will be going through the roof.
Yeah, we'll be riding in. We're doing a bit of a trip with our customers, so anyone wanting to sort of join on board, we're doing some tours.
Well, make sure you go and check in. Basically, every bike shop in Brunswick is Spiro. So
yeah, he's got them all.
Pretty straightforward, but Avanti Bicycles and the Rays Bicycles as well.
That's it, mate. That's correct. So I hope that those boys are doing some work. They're not listening in on SEN.
Well, we hope they're doing both.
That's
what we hope. Mate, it's been great to have you in. Thanks for sharing your story with us on JYB this afternoon.
Look, I really appreciate you boys bringing us on, and I've had a great time.
Good on you. Spiro Korkamelis, one of the biggest names in footy on JYB.